ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
In Isaiah 40:26, we're told this, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by greatness of his might and strength of his power, not one is missing." Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5. "He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." You know, not only did God create everything, even all the hundreds and hundreds of sextillions of stars, he knows them all by name. Can you imagine? You know, in my family with my mom and dad, they had four boys. And my love my dad, but and I'm so much like him. But he was, you know, four boys. Anyway, when he wanted to get a, and, you know, speak to one of us, he would start at the top. He'd go, "Joe, John, Jerry, Jim." And he'd be right. Because it was one of those four. I call my grandkids Tony all the time. Poor Liam and Kane. I'm always calling them Tony. Tony. And then, "Oh, sorry. That's your dad. Sorry. It's my son." God calls them all by name. God's understanding is infinite. His power is infinite. He knows what's going to happen, and thus what he wants us to do is walk by faith. That's great. We can do that. And then there's our next point, which really messes with us, against all odds. Look at Judges 7:12. "Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude." You know, with all that God has told Gideon, he and his servant Purah head down to the camp of the Midianites. And he's probably pretty excited. You know, God's going to give us this victory. They're probably talking. And then he comes to the camp of the Midianites. And could you imagine what that looked like? 135,000 soldiers down there. And I think his heart sank. You know, he was overwhelmed. And remember what we're told. The Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. You might say they went down to the valley of the shadow of death, right? I mean, this was not a good thing. The enemy is everywhere, uncountable, like a locust plague, and they filled the valley floor. And they're armed. They have camels. Camels were frightening to men on foot. Gideon had none. The Midianites had thousands of them. And can you imagine what he felt like when he saw the camp of the Midianites in that valley? But God had promised that when they got down there, they would hear something to strengthen them, to encourage them. So he pressed on. Have you ever felt yourself in a, or found yourself, excuse me, in a situation like that where odds are totally against you and you're losing hope, you're becoming more and more fearful? We probably all have been there. And what was Gideon going to do? I mean, think about it. Do you just run away? Sometimes people do. Or continue on and go to the camp. Now, if God or if Gideon didn't have any of God's promises for him, that would be overwhelming. But he did have God's promises, even though the situation for Gideon was against all odds. It wasn't going to stop him from what God had called him to do. So they reach the outskirts of the Midianite camp. They kind of creep in under cover of darkness, and as we're going to see, they're going to hear a hushed conversation coming from one of the tents. And they edge closer to try and hear what's being said. And Now they can start to hear it. And that's what we're going to look at next, the encouragement of God. Look at verse 13. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I have just had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." Now, keep in mind, you know, Israel was nothing. They were under oppression. They're portrayed in this dream of one of these Midian men as a loaf of barley bread. Barley was nothing. Barley meal was food for dogs or cattle, not for men. And so they were despised, looked down upon. And the soldier is telling his buddy this dream he had. And it's about a loaf of barley, which, again, was the poor man's bread. It was insignificant. Rolled into the camp of the Midianites and destroyed them. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, if my wife woke up and was telling me something like that, I'd be like, "Honey, have you been at the sauce a little? What's going on here?" I mean, that is a bizarre dream. And now this is your battle buddy, right? Another soldier is telling you this. I'd be like, maybe I need another battle buddy because this guy is whacked, right? But the story continues on. And it's interesting. His buddy now is giving the interpretation. And he says, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." Now that is amazing. First of all, how did they even know it was Gideon, right, that was going to do this? God revealed this to these guys. This is an amazing revelation. If I would have been those guys, I would have exited the camp, right? I don't want to go into battle against the children of Israel. We're going to be destroyed. And think about this. You're in a camp getting ready for battle, and you tell your buddy, "Hey, I had this dream." And the buddy goes, "Well, yeah, it sounds like Gideon's coming and is going to destroy us all." That's not what you want to do before battle. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we're getting ready to play a football game, and you go, "Oh man, I can't believe we're playing these guys. We're going to get killed. Why are we even going out there?" That's not how you get fired up for a game. But that's exactly what's going on. We're dead here. Encouragement, though, for Gideon and Purah, and it's going to be for the children of Israel in this battle. It spurs them on. Let me share this story with you. Jesse Owens' story, it was during the 1936 Olympic Games in Berlin, Germany. And he was favored to win the long jump. And just the year before, he set 3 world records in one day. He was the record holder for the running broad jump with 26 feet, 8 1/4 inches, a record that would stand for 25 years. And as he walked to the long jump pit, Owen saw a tall, blue-eyed, blonde German taking practice jumps in the 26-foot range. And Owens was nervous. He was aware of the tension created with his presence. He knew the Nazis' desire was to prove Aryan superiority, especially over the blacks. And the pressure was overwhelming. And on his first jump, Owens inadvertently leaped from several inches beyond the takeoff board. Rattled, he fouled on the second attempt, too. And he was only one foul away from being eliminated in the Olympics. Well, at this point, the tall German approached Owens and introduced himself as Luz Long. Then an amazing event took place. The black son of a sharecropper and the white model of Nazi manhood chatted in the view of the entire stadium. What were they talking about? Well, the qualifying distance was only 23 feet, 5 1/2 inches. Long suggested making a mark several inches before the takeoff board and jumping from there, just to play it safe. And that was amazing. At the beginning of World War II, this model of Germany's strength was providing technical assistance and words of encouragement to a foe both on and off the field. And Owens qualified easily then. And in the finals, he set an Olympic record and earned the second of 4 gold medals during the 1936 Olympics. And the first person to congratulate Owens was Luz Long in full view of Adolf Hitler. Owens never saw Long again. Long was killed in World War II. You couldn't melt down all the medals and cups I have, Owens later wrote, and they wouldn't be plating on the 24-karat friendship I felt for Luz Long. Wow. Words of encouragement. Hey, you know what? You jump far. You can jump farther. Just set your mark a little back. That way you won't fall, and you get into the finals. Words of encouragement. I think we need that. You know, when I was running track in high school, back when the earth was cooling, and my wife said, yeah, you were with me. Cheering me, yeah. But my coach was an encourager. When I ran cross country, and, you know, I kind of got into cross country running as a fluke, because when I was in junior high, getting ready to go into high school, the cross country and track coach, I ran sprints, that was my specialty, came to the junior high school. And that's when cross country wasn't popular. And he said, now if you, he came recruiting cross country guys. He said, now if you want to run track in the spring, you have to run cross country in the fall. Well, I wanted to run track. So I signed up for cross country. I didn't have to join cross country to run track in the spring, but he got us to do it anyway. And what I loved about the guy is he was just this encourager. He always encouraged you. And I remember in one of his races, and it was at our Maney's High School, it was at our school, and I'm running, and all of a sudden, here's my coach running alongside me. He goes, look at that guy in front of you. You take him. Just keep your eyes focused on him and get him. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And so I took him. And because of his encouragement, I kept picking guys off that were in front of me. Because he spurred me on. He encouraged me. That is so important. This encouragement for Gideon was that important. And that's the same encouragement that I think God gives us. You know, God encourages us how often through his word. You know, you're reading it and all of a sudden, man, that's just what I needed. And I'm so thankful for his precious promises. But he also encourages us through others who come alongside of us with words to spur us on to encourage us. You know, during those weeks where, you know, no one was allowed in the church and I was speaking to the chairs, it's not easy, you know, to speak to chairs. I was thinking of just putting little stuffed animals in the chair, so I'm looking at something. But the encouragement I got from a lot of you who just emailed me or texted me or wrote me or whatever, it spurred me on to continue on. And that's important. We're here to encourage each other. Let's face it, there are going to be times you're up or you're down. That's just the way we are. We're emotional people and we have our ups and downs. But you know what's awesome? Is when someone comes alongside of you when you're down and lifts you up. And when you come alongside someone who's down and you lift them up. You know, my wife has done that 42 years. You know, she's been doing that. You think she'd be tired, but no. I mean, I was just doing gardening yesterday. And she had her chair out there sitting, cheering me on. Not sure how that one worked, but yeah, she was cheering me on. But isn't it great to have that little, those words of encouragement? It's just something to encourage you to go forward. And God does that all the time. But sometimes I don't think we're listening. We're paying attention to what he's saying to us. We need to listen to what he's saying so we can go forward and do the things he wants us to do. And here's the amazing thing. Out of all this, you know, you think you got Gideon so much going through his mind. We're going to be in battle. I got to be ready, you know, focusing. What are we going to do? We many times are so overwhelmed and so focused, even though we're going to go forward, that we forget the worship of God. And that's what Gideon's going to do. Look at here in Judges 7, look at verse 15. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand. Wow. You know, Gideon is given this assurance of the enemy being fearful, and that the dream the Midianite soldier had just showed that they were going to be defeated. Yeah, Israel was weak and insignificant, but they were going to be victorious. And now he worships the Lord. And the Bible speaks a lot about worship. And I think part of worship is being thankful. And sometimes we miss that in our relationship with God. We're not thankful. He blesses us. He encourages us, gives us victories. And we go on. We're not thankful about it. I'll give you just a few verses. In Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. We glorify God as we worship him. It honors him. And it shows him, look, I didn't accomplish this on my own. God is the one who's doing this, and he deserves my worship. Psalm 95, 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. You know, coming before him with thanksgiving. We come before him with a lot of requests, but do we thank him for just being our God, for saving us from our sin? You see, we don't deserve everything, and look at all he's given to us. Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. We don't enter in with, you know, complaining, but with thanksgiving. And it's important that we are thankful, because I think what's going on inside our hearts is going to overflow in the things we do and the things we say. And if we truly understand that God is in control of everything, it doesn't matter what anyone does, that we will have a heart of thanksgiving to him. It's not always easy. We've seen that again over the last several weeks, and we see it now in our country. But can we have a heart of thanksgiving unto God and let others see that joy that's in our hearts, that we just praise him? Psalm 107, verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Yeah. You know, as we go out into this world, engage in this world, when we have thankful hearts, people see it. And people, I don't know if, you know, you've had people come up to you, but they always wonder, what's the will of God? What is the will of God for my life? And there's several things we could look at. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it's pretty simple. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's not a suggestion. This is the will of God for your life. You know, what else do you have for me? No, that's what I have for you. Thanksgiving, a heart of thanksgiving. Give thanks to him. And lastly, in Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for God is a consuming fire. I like the way the Living Bible puts this. Since we have a kingdom nothing can destroy, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts and with holy fear and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, like I said, guys, this isn't our home. We're aliens and strangers just passing through. And our mission is to bring the gospel to a lost and dying world. And so have a thankful heart. Serve with thankfulness. Because the kingdom of God is coming and nothing's going to stop it. The kingdoms of this world are going to be destroyed. Guys, we're in Revelation, I think, are we in 17 tonight? I believe we're in 17 tonight. This, where God destroys the religious kingdom of this world. And in chapter 18, it destroys the monetary system of this world, the kingdoms of this world, all the things, the business part of it, the government part, wiped out. Everything is going except the kingdom of God, which is coming. So you got to have a right perspective. Having a thankful heart is so important, guys, because I think as we become unthankful, we get angry, we get mad, and that's what people see. And again, it's something that I have to deal with all the time. Because I see things going on, and it bothers me. Right is wrong, wrong is right. If I say something that people don't like, I'm intolerant. But they could say anything they want. I don't get it. Gideon, there is no doubt in my mind, understood that he was not worthy for this gift that God had given him, this victory that's coming. So he's thankful. He's showing gratitude towards God for giving them this victory before the battle even started. It wasn't after the battle. Isn't it easy then to praise God and thank him after you get the victory? Yeah, that's easy. What about before? Can we be thankful? In fact, like I said, Gideon saw himself totally as unworthy. We saw it in Judges 6:15. As he said to the Lord, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. There's no way I could win this." And I think if we come with that attitude that God owes us nothing, that's great. But if we have an attitude that God owes us something or we're worthy to receive something from God, when things don't go our way, you're not going to be thankful. You're going to complain and be angry and bitter and say it's unfair. But if God never gave us another thing except our salvation, what more do you need? Do you realize you're going to spend eternity with him? But I guarantee you he gives you much more. I think we miss out on what God has given us. I shared with you before when I was driving down to Sheboygan to work at St. Nicholas Hospital. And even before that, when I was back in Chicago, before I got saved, I would drive to work, point A to point B. I didn't see anything. And then I got saved. And I saw everything. Birds, trees, deer. It was amazing the things that I saw. And it wasn't that all of a sudden they were there. They were there all the time. I just didn't see it. And I think we miss out on what God has given us because we're not looking. God gives us things every single day. You know, my wife was missing our grandkids because of this whole lockdown, and my son and daughter-in-law working in the healthcare profession were in contact with the coronavirus on a daily basis, working in an ER. And so they didn't want the kids coming up here. They didn't want to spread it to Julie if they got it. And then the rioting started in Madison. And then it started getting closer to my son's house. And my son said, "Hey, Dad, can we bring the kids over? Because we don't want to leave them alone because we have a lot of police officers in our neighborhood and they're attacking police officers right now." And I said, "Absolutely." I thought, "Oh, God, you just blessed my wife." Me too. But she was longing to see our grandkids. And we spent the whole week together. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Look for those things that God is doing, even in the midst of chaos. And I like what Gideon does. I mean, okay, so it's Gideon and Purah who's heard this, right? They go back to their camp now. And what do? Gideon says, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." His encouragement now is contagious. He's spreading it to the rest of the 300 men who were there. I pray that people see our faith, our worship of God that's filled with thanksgiving and gratitude towards God, and our faith is contagious. You know, we hear so much about wearing masks today, but I think Christians wear masks and they cover their faith. Let people see your faith, guys, that they hear your faith and understand that you want them to catch Jesus. That's a good thing. You want them to come to saving faith. It's not going to harm them. It's going to bless them, and it will save their lives. I'll close with this. My prayer is that others would catch what we have, and it would encourage them to walk by faith as we're walking by faith. And I pray that you leave here encouraged, that God is going to keep encouraging you and guiding you all the days of your life. He will never stop. And may we walk by faith. Let's pray. Lord, what a wonderful lesson this is. What a wonderful story of Gideon. And how you sent him into the camp of Israel. Camp of the Midianites. Two guys coming into a camp of 135,000. And at the precise time to hear two of the Midianite soldiers talking and how the dream the one had was a picture of Gideon and his men destroying all the Midianites. Lord, thank you for your words of encouragement each and every day. Help us, Lord, to trust in you and to walk by faith. We love you so much. And may these lessons, may we take them to heart and grow in our faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.